Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Wanda Allen, who is an international speaker, coach, corporate trainer, author, and award-winning business owner. She's the author of Follow-Up Savvy and Follow-Up Sales Strategies. Wanda has had a 25-year corporate career where she has held the position of senior vice president for 15 years. She also has a sales background and has worked with sales teams throughout her corporate career. Wanda is an expert in helping entrepreneurs, business owners, and sales professionals increase their pipelines, improve sales performance, and strengthen relationships by developing strong follow-up skills. I'm really excited to pick your brain today, Wanda, about, you know, sales in general. We'll discuss follow-up strategies. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. My pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Perfect. So yeah, so to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so that our listeners can get to know you a little bit.
Okay.
So what would you say really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
Helping, serving, because my primary area of expertise is follow-up, and it's an area that in general people really, really struggle with for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. And when I help them turn that light bulb on of it can be done, it's not difficult, and let's just get in and get some systems in place and to see the results, that's what keeps me going. I love it. I just, you know, people say, oh my gosh, I needed this so bad, or I can't believe it's this simple. I hear that a lot. I love it. So that drives me big time.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, before we get into the whole follow-up, do you have any strategies for entrepreneurs to help increase their pipeline?
Well, you know, so many salespeople are great at lead generation. That's where it starts. You don't have a pipeline if you don't have leads, right? Yes. And so networking, cold calling, door knocking, here's the key is consistency. You've got to consistently work on lead generation. Okay, that's the first part. Mm-hmm. Second part is you have to follow up, because in what so many people do is they follow up once or twice, prospect doesn't respond, they drop it, and then it falls off the pipeline. And every salesperson's goal is to have a robust pipeline, because the bigger your pipeline, the more sales you're going to close. Mm-hmm. So the back end, there's two ends, the front end and the back end. The front end's lead generation, back end's follow up. Lead generation just plants a seed. You know, and then you've got to follow up to get it to a yes or a no.
Yes.
And that's the back end work, but many fall very short in the back end.
Yeah. And I think one issue a lot of entrepreneurs have is not wanting to come across as, you know, overbearing or potentially annoying the lead by following up too aggressively. So how do you find that sort of middle ground where, you know, you're following up, you're doing your due diligence, in a way that is, you know, not too overbearing to the prospect?
Yeah. So it's really comes down to asking the right questions. So you know what the next step is. And it's a fear of being pushy, fear of bothering, as you said, those are fears. And so if you're not engaging with the prospect, if you're not asking the right questions, then you're guessing as to when you should follow up. And when you have to guess, there's a big degree of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. And when we're uncertain, that opens the door for fears. Well, I don't know. I mean, I just followed up and I don't, it's probably too pushy. And many people have that pushy salesperson in their mind that they don't want to be. And so they end up going to the opposite end of the spectrum to make sure they're not that pushy salesperson, that they end up taking very little, if any, action at all. And right. So that's where systems come, mindset and systems, and asking the right questions, that's mm-hmm. what's going to keep you on the right track of momentum.
Okay. So how often should you be following up? I think you mentioned 7 times, or I think I've heard 7 to 12 times is, you know, how much you should be following up. But how much time should pass in between each follow-up?
Yeah. So I teach a whole system on that, which I don't have time to get into here today. But okay. What I will say is 80% of sales are made between the 5th and 12th contact. Okay.
Okay.
You've got to make a minimum of 5 contacts. You have to. If you want to stay in the game and have a chance at that business, do not quit before 5. Okay. You don't want to be following up every day. You know, that's too much. That's obnoxious, in my opinion.
Yes.
But you keep it professional and mm-hmm. respectful. And here's what you're doing is when you're following up. Is you're pursuing and showing interest in that prospect. And so if you will always come from the place of service and showing interest, it just really helps lighten the mental load and can help subside that fear. So it's shifting where your focus is. But yes, minimum 5. And just because a prospect doesn't respond does not mean they're not interested. It doesn't mean they've changed their mind. It just means they haven't gotten back to you. But the tendency is to assume, well, they must have changed their mind or they're not interested now, so I'm going to quit following up.
Yeah.
You kind of shoot yourself in the foot.
Exactly. Yeah. We have customers that I've been following up with. I mean, my follow-up strategy was not super, like it was definitely more spread out, but it has taken in some cases 2 years. Yes. Which is interesting. So, but yeah, it was, you know, they had said they were interested and then it was just a follow-up every couple months. Like, hey, like, you know, let me know where you guys are at. Oh, we've got this. Just, you know, check back with me at this time, you know, making sure I put it in my CRM, follow up with them. And, yeah, you have to be diligent with that follow-up.
You do. And if you're in sales and that's your responsibility, following up is part of your job. And
yes.
So if you're not following up, you're not doing a part of your job.
Yes.
And which means you're not, anybody that's not doing their job is not being professional, right?
Exactly.
And so, you know, that's another mindset shift. Look, if I'm not following up, I'm being unprofessional. Nobody wants to be unprofessional. It's not a good look.
Yes.
In the prospect's eyes. And it's not good for your image or brand or reputation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, you're doing them a disservice at the end of the day. You know, if you fully believe that the service that you have to offer them is going to help their business and you're coming from that place of service, like you said, you know, by not following up with them, you are doing them a disservice at the end of the day.
Oh, 100%. And you're making the buying decision for them as to mm-hmm. if they're going to do business with you. And
yeah.
You don't want to do that either.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. Okay. So what kind of objections, you know, would you say have been like the most common objections that you've encountered in your career? Like obviously, you know, cost is a big one. Do you have any, you know, tips for overcoming that and any other common objections you've encountered?
Yeah. So I need to think about it. I need to go over my budget or I'm not sure if I can afford it, or, you know, you have to get to the heart of where their objection is and mm-hmm. see if you can overcome it in that moment and at least get a feel for where they are. You know, I think it's Brian Tracy that said, when a prospect says they need to think about it, it's their way of saying no.
Yeah.
You know, I believe that's true. Definitely true sometimes, but sometimes not, you know, maybe they do just need to think about it. And then, so here's a great gold nugget is when they say that, you say, is there anything that would prevent you from moving forward? Okay. So
okay.
This is going to cause them to verbalize what their true objections are. Or if they say, no, not really, I don't think so, that's probably a no. But if they say, well, I really need to get comfortable that I can fit it in my budget, or I need to get my spouse's okay or my partner's okay. Those are valid. And so, you know, there's something there, but if it's the, I'm not sure, then yeah, that's probably a no. So that question right there is invaluable, because then if they say, well, this is a potential objection, if you can overcome it right there, that's great. You've just overcome it for them. Or you can say, let me check on that and I'll get back to you. So you're being very proactive about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any tips for overcoming, you know, maybe like a price objection, you know, if someone is saying, you know, that's too expensive?
Yeah. So, you know, there's coaches out there that say it's never about the money. And I don't believe that. I think sometimes it is about the money and they really would love to do it, but you know, they can't. And so if they say, I don't have the money, it's too expensive, it's not in my budget, I don't lower my cost. I just don't, you know, and I just say, I certainly understand. And, you know, should your budget loosen up or you get room in it, you know, let me know. Or if you want me to follow up with you at a later time, I certainly will. So when somebody, and this is me, we're all different. We all have different philosophies. But if somebody says they don't have the money, I'm not going to push them into. I mean, I've had one coach say, you ask them, you know, what can you sell? What do you have that you can sell? You know, and that's not me and my style and my personality. That works for her, but it's not me. So I think you have to find where you're comfortable, but you do have to evaluate and assess, is it truly about the money?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I was listening to someone talking about that the other day, and a tip that they had kind of mentioned that I thought was interesting was, you know, agree and sympathize with them. So, you know, if they're saying, you know, like it's a really expensive product, I'd be like, yeah, like you're right. It is expensive, but we're the best, or, you know, whatever would make sense for you to say, you know, it's worth it. You know, if we were doing all the things that we said that we were doing, and it was, you know, not priced accordingly, would you even believe us that we could offer what we're offering you? So I thought that was an interesting take.
Yes. And that leads me to another thought, is that you could, like for me, you know, the coaching, I don't know, it's expensive. Yeah. But you'll get the investment back, you know, you're going to get way more than the investment back. So you can talk them through it. You know, in those kind of ways, like what you were just saying, what I just said. And then at the end of the conversation, if they say, no, you know, I just don't have it, then, you know, you can't, what is that, squeeze the blood out of a turnip or whatever that saying is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it is.
It's next.
It is what it is.
Yeah, I don't want to force somebody into my program, or I don't want to put them under financial strain. That's not good. That's not a good feeling. I'm not going to feel good about that.
Yeah. Yeah. If at the end of the day, they're just not an ideal client, they're just not a good fit if they're not financially able to afford it.
Yeah. And that's one of the determining factors. If you're talking to a qualified prospect for you, can they afford your product? If they can't afford it, then that's not a good prospect.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's a really good point.
Yeah.
So how do you have any tips for reviving dead leads?
Go back and get them. Here's the thing. I'm all about simplicity, you know. I'm direct. Here's the thing, is if it's embarrassment, and that's why people don't go back, because they didn't follow up when they should have or when they said they would. And you know what? So what? Okay. Just acknowledge it, but go back, follow up anyway. What, you know, it's not life or death. Is it embarrassing? Yes, it is. But hopefully that's reinforcement that I'm never putting myself in this boat again. You know, I'm going to make sure that I have the right processes and systems in place so that I am consistently following up. And just go do it, because you never know what can come out of it. It can come and it can be a no. And you know what? That's okay. At least you tried.
Yeah. Or it can, you're not wasting your time or their time, you know, if they give you a no.
Yeah. Yeah. But or they may say, oh my gosh, I can't believe you called me. We were just talking about this. That could have been 6 months ago. You never, ever know how it's going to turn out. And so I just say, put on your big girl, big boy pants, make that call. And here's the thing. It's a ball you dropped. So make that call and just see where it lands.
Yeah.
You know, and let the chips fall where they may and then move on.
Yeah, exactly. Awesome. So, you know, like when you're following up, is there any, you know, creative ideas or tips for creative follow-ups that you'd like to suggest that you've, you know, noticed work really well?
Okay. This is not creative, but it's not common.
Okay.
The phone for its originally intended purpose, which is to your ear and mouth. It's the most efficient tool we have, and it's the one that's used the least.
Yes.
Because people, in my opinion, hide behind their email and text. And that's how they follow up. You know, it's just so much easier and painless to follow up over an email or a text. But it's so inefficient because I can cover with you in a 5-minute conversation what could take 3 emails in 2 days.
Yes.
Okay. And you're going to tell me things on the phone that you won't tell me in an email or a text.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's so much fear around the phone for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the go-to, and let's face it, electronic means of communication is predominant at this point in the game.
Totally.
But it doesn't mean it's the most efficient. Let the phone be your primary and then the electronic tools be your secondary. And for most people, it's the other way around.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a really great point. So, you know, would you do something where it's like, I sent you, you know, call, if you don't get through, maybe leave a message and then follow up with an email. Hey, I tried to call you. And then that would just be, you know, sort of part of your follow-up.
Yes. Yes. And always leave a message. Cause I hear people say all the time, oh, I never leave messages.
Mm-hmm.
Why leave a message? Because they're going to hear the sincerity and interest in your voice that they will not get over an email or a text. And you're humanizing yourself and your follow-up. And that's really important. You know, we are human beings and we need human interaction for the health and wellness of our relationships. And that's lost because we've been so swallowed up with technology. I am in no way knocking technology. It's incredible. We are living in the best time. It makes our life so much easier, but it is not a be all and end all way of life. And for many people, it has become that.
Yes, absolutely. I think that's really great advice.
Mm-hmm.
So is there anything else you'd like to share about follow-up that you think would be beneficial to our listeners?
Yes. The number one tip I can give you is get a CRM and use it, because I'm telling you, it'll change your life. If you're not using a CRM, you're making the follow-up process so much more difficult. You're slipping and sliding, and that's exhausting. And CRM puts you on firm ground. And then I also talk about an extension of following up, which is what I call staying in touch, also known as relationship management, which is another area that's terribly neglected today for a variety of reasons. So the CRM is going to ground you in being consistent and good at follow-up and being consistent and good with relationship management. And relationship management is at the bottom of the list at best. At worst, it's not even on the list. Okay.
Right.
For many, many people. And at the end of the day, you do business with people. So how can relationship management be at the bottom of the list or not even on it?
Yes.
And so the CRM is going to be very supportive.
Yeah, absolutely. I know I use HubSpot, which I really like. And what I really like about it is it has an extension in Gmail. So whenever I am sending an email, it's going to automatically update the CRM, which is super, helps save a lot of time. You've got that documentation you can easily reference. And then, and then you can just set reminders to yourself as well. So if you know you want to follow up with this person in, you know, X number of weeks, you can just set the reminder. It's going to let you know. And it's such a lifesaver.
It is. And, you know, don't worry about it being a big investment, because it's not, it doesn't have to be. You know, they're so affordable. Now, the more sophisticated it is, the higher the price point, but even the lower priced ones are very relevant and current. And it's, so don't let that scare you out there, your community, if you don't have one. It's not a big investment. There are free, but I say proceed with caution. You know what you get for free. You know, don't be penny wise and pound foolish. But you, there's programs out there for $12, $15, you know, $30. I mean, we're just not talking much money here.
Yeah. Yeah. And the value it's going to bring your business, it's just worth it. It's one of those non-negotiables, in my opinion.
Yes, absolutely. But there's so many people who don't use a CRM. There's even a lot of people who don't know what a CRM is.
Mm-hmm. It's
and,
true.
And you know, and I say that with love. That there is no criticism or judgment on that. We're all, you know, we all learn every day. But there are a lot of people that have never heard of them. But I think what's worse is knowing what one is, having it and not using it. That's worse than not knowing.
I think we're all so bombarded with information that I think there's a lot of times when you know you should be doing something and you're just not always doing it. So yeah, that's one of those things that you absolutely have to be using your CRM.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, for a lot of people that have them and don't use them, that's comparable to the gym membership. You know how that goes.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
I never have to say another word about that.
But it frees up so much space. Like it's that mental load that you just don't have to worry about it. You know, you don't have to constantly be remembering to follow up with that person manually. You know, you're going to get reminded automatically. So at the end of the day, it's going to make your life a lot easier.
Yeah. And, you know, if you're using your memory as your, one of your systems, you want to pack on a load of stress and zap energy. And then if you forget, then you're embarrassed, you feel guilty and you're frustrated, you know, and there's just so much negativity attached that centers around not using a CRM and using something as your memory or even pen and paper. That's not spiral notebook. You know, a lot of people have notebooks on their desk. That's not good.
Yeah.
Time waster, flip, trying to find something you wrote 3 weeks ago. And then if you lose it, there goes your future business.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
That's not good.
Well, it's the perfect way to customize your follow-ups, because you can make really, really great notes in your CRM about, you know, things that they've told you along the way. And then, you know, exactly how to be customizing your follow-up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. It's the game changer, as you said.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So Wanda, where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
5 years, I just want to be coaching as many people as I can. And I'm a speaker. I love speaking and just coaching and speaking. That's what I love. That's really my goal, is to just keep going. I'm the follow-up energizer bunny. You know, I just speak and coach.
It's your passion.
It is because it is definitely.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions.
Oh, okay.
So, what is a book you've read that's made an impact on you? And maybe actually we could talk about the book that you've written.
Oh my gosh. I've read so many books. You know, it's the old, like, Think and Grow Rich, I think is just incredible. Eat That Frog by Brian Tracy.
Yep.
I just love, I'm reading one right now, Matthew Kelly, Being Your True Self. That was really good. I have a whole list of, I'm a reader. I love to read. I think it's so important. So those are a few of my favorites.
Okay. Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
Okay. So 30 minutes, I call it my God time, because I'm a God loving woman. And then I walk my dog and then I work out. Boom, boom, boom. Those are my three.
Those are your non-negotiables every morning.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep. I may not work out seven. I work out probably 5 to 6 days a week. It depends, you know, if I have an early morning speaking engagement. I'm a morning person. It's way easier for me to work out at 5 a.m. than 5 p.m. 5 p.m, it's not going to happen.
Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. If I have an early speaking engagement, I won't be working out that day.
And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
A CEO?
Yes.
No, not a CEO. You know who okay. I love, and I love his work, is Darren Hardy. I love him. If you know who he is, he's just incredible. In fact, I'm doing a 6-day challenge that he's put out right now. I'm in the middle of it. We're on day 4, but he's incredible. I just love his work and all he's accomplished.
Okay, perfect. So
he's not a CEO, but he's an entrepreneur. Well, yeah. I guess he's a CEO. I guess he is.
Yeah. Just someone who kind of, motivates or inspires you in business.
Yes, definitely.
And do you have a favorite online tool that helps make your life easier?
You know what changed my life was an online calendar. That changed everything for me.
I know. It's so helpful.
Yes. Cause I book a lot of, before I would say, okay, I have these 3 times available. Let me know if any of them work for you. And I'm penciling them out in my calendar and oh, what a nightmare.
I know.
Now I just send the link. And I know that's so basic and elementary at this point in the game, but that was life-changing for me.
Well, it's more convenient for you. And then it's more convenient for the other person as well, because it saves them going back and forth at the same time. So it's such a productivity hack.
Yep. Love it.
And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
As an entrepreneur, that it's not going to go as fast and be as smooth as you would think it is going to be.
Yes. All those people talking about how easy entrepreneurship is on social media. Not quite the case.
No, not. Had I known, because I had a 25-year corporate career, had I known what I was getting into, the conservative me back then would have said, no way. but I wouldn't trade it for the world. I love it. Yeah. Ignorance is bliss, by the way. I agree with that in terms of not knowing. It's not going to be as fast and it's not going to be as easy.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of learning lessons along the way.
Yeah. That's what growth is about, right?
Exactly. Definitely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Wanda. Before we wrap up, I'd love if you could just talk about, the books you've read and, for listeners are interested in checking those out, where they can do so to check out the books you've written.
Okay. Well, I retired my first book, which because I'm such a different person today in the way I teach and what I coach. So I retired that. But my book is Follow-Up Sales Strategies.
Okay.
And you can get on Amazon or you can go to my website. And I also have a couple free gifts on my website. If your listeners are interested, they can go there. It's followupsalesstrategies.com.
Okay, perfect. Well, yeah. Definitely check that out if you're interested in improving your sales game. And thank you so much for joining us today, Wanda.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast and we'll see you next time.